Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
Hey, Kyle. How's your hammer hanging?
Huh? What was it we were saying just before when I was like, hey, we should start recording?
Talking about what we consider to be action movies and also the Warriors.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's fun. We'll get back to that. But I wanted to get this because very similarly, while watching this movie, I was also thinking of the Warriors. So,
are you serious?
Uh-huh. 100%.
Oh, no kidding.
Especially like parts when they were driving under the subways. Like,
yeah.
Very, very, very Warriors-esque.
And I think we'll get back to this, but it went even further to that, like, by the end of the movie with, like, the face-off. And, like, that's all I could think of stylistically comparing the two movies and, like, thematically and almost cheese level and just, like, kind of whatever was going on. I couldn't stop drawing comparisons in my head about, like, oh, man, this just feels so much like the Warriors, but way different.
1,000% different. Also, this movie is as old as I am.
84, baby.
June of 84. I'm August of 84. It's older than me by 2 months.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That so, is insane.
Similar to the movie, I'm old, I'm cranky, I'm not politically correct, and I do hit women.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Maybe I wasn't paying that close of attention, but I mean, there wasn't a ton in this movie.
There was one that is the only one that you need.
No. I'm not talking about the hitting women.
Oh,
like,
okay.
At the end of the movie, there's like two straight shots to the face, and then he threatens to hit another woman. I was going to say the political correctness. I honestly usually pick up on that stuff.
Yeah,
so
there wasn't really much anything
sensitive.
Like foul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like usually I would have expected an F-bomb, but there were none. Also, this was PG, but there was a lot of cursing and butts and boobs.
Yes.
So that's a PG movie from 1984.
This
is
before
PG-13 existed.
Yeah. This is giving me flashbacks to like when I was on the Caped Podcasters and we were talking about Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And I remembered being a kid. And, you know, my dad was like, oh, this is PG. We can watch this. And then all of a sudden there's just like rampant breasts halfway through the movie.
Uh-huh.
And you could just like I can vividly remember my dad's face going like. Yeah, shocked Pikachu. For anybody that couldn't see that. Obviously.
It's also funny you brought up Cape Podcasters. What are they? Beer Me. Movie. Because I also thought of them during this movie. I was like, I feel like they would like this.
I wrote down in what I said before we started recording was way too many notes for what this movie was. In my notes, I wrote down that this just felt like a noir comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about that. You need to be in a very special mindset for this movie. I'm surprised we're talking about this right now. Are we coming back to this?
Yeah, we'll come back. Let's pin it.
Okay. Let's come back to it. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm real good.
Nice. What's going on?
What is going on, man? I went and played golf this morning. That was pretty tight.
Beautiful.
I lost power last night. That was funny.
Heat?
No. We had weather roll through, but it wasn't bad weather. It was very weird that we lost power.
I only asked that because we've been running, like, we've been having outages, like whether it be phone outages or power outages, just due to heat.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's too hot, which makes me very concerned that this infrastructure isn't really up to snuff, that I'm surviving better in this weather than it is. And I'm a little bit.
Yeah, me too. And also, it's funny because technology does seem weak and pathetic. And if the robots do choose to rise up, I think we'll just beat the absolute shit out of their asses, you know?
Yeah, just turn up the heat, turn up our thermostats,
mm-hmm. Be like,
turn off the AC, they're fucked.
It's like how we're the perfect predator at hunting because like we can just run long distances. So we just outrun other animals that have to flee. That's
yeah.
It's literally how like early there's still people that hunt that way, like in primitive areas.
Just chase them down.
They just chase them down, man. And eventually the animal gets too tired that it literally can't run away. And then you just bop.
Man, you airdrop some Nikes into like the middle of the Amazon forest and that whole forest is fucked.
Well, especially if like, you know, some little bonobos get them and they're like.
Was that insensitive?
I mean, maybe on the slight edge of it, but you skirted the line.
Mentally, it was funny to me. It's just like picturing somebody native to the region just picking up a pair of Nikes and just like, I am the fastest motherfucker alive.
I think it's good you went Amazon. There is a worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
So I think it's okay.
Cool. If it's not, apologies, folks listening to us.
But that's your experience grind history lesson for the episode.
That's fucking wild.
Splurged, not like you did, but I bought another controller, a fancy Xbox controller.
I saw that.
Yeah.
This
one's tight, though, because I didn't tell anybody else, but it's blue.
Oh, it already came in?
Oh, yeah. It's Amazon.
No way.
It was there within a day.
Oh, I'm an idiot. I'm surprised it didn't show up that day. It blows me away, like, what you can do with Amazon.
It's one of the reasons I still have it, because, like, dude, having stuff delivered same day or next day is still really stupid awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a nice thing.
Dude, at this point, I don't even care if, like, you just add a credit card to mine and just, like, have shit. I have your address, for some reason, saved in my Amazon. Did I tell you that when we were in Vegas, we like needed something, we needed an adapter for something. And so we figured out how to use Amazon lockers.
Oh, so, nice.
So like we were staying in the hotel and just ordered something off of Amazon and had it delivered like to the building next to us into a locker. And you just use your phone to open it.
Yeah.
It's the craziest shit. Like this is the future that I'm here for. Like, I can just have something next day delivered to me when I'm just staying in a different state.
Yeah, I've done.
Fuck yeah.
Not that cool because I wasn't in a different state, but I have done the locker pickup stuff for like some high value stuff that I've bought. You know, I don't want it sitting on my fucking porch because it's just.
That's smart.
Our Kohl's is like an Amazon center too, because you can like take returns there for free.
Yeah.
You just give them to them and they're like, all right, thanks. They just take it.
I didn't know about this until like 6 months ago when Sarah's like, hey, can you take this Amazon return with you? And in my head, I'm like, fuck, man, I don't want to go to the post office. That sucks. And she's like, no, just take it to Kohl's. Mm-hmm. They'll scan your phone and that's it. I'm like, wait, I don't have to pack anything up. No. I don't have to go to the... Wait, what?
Yeah.
So heads up for folks that don't know about this. Mm-hmm. You can just return shit to Amazon at a Kohl's.
It's pretty tight, man. They do take care of everything. And like
no
I said,
packaging necessary.
Mine has the lockers too, so I don't know if yours does, but...
I don't know. Like, we live in kind of the middle of nowhere, so I'm not that stressed about it.
I've been there.
But
I've been to Mitch's too. Mitch's he's coming out here.
When's he headed down there?
In August, like right around my birthday too. So
for what?
I
just saw him today.
He's going to Myrtle Beach and stuff on vacation.
Oh, sweet.
Him and the lady. So
right on.
We're gonna link up at some point. It'll be a good time.
That's what's up, dude. I hope you guys have a blast.
Get some seafood ski. What'd you see him for? Was he just
He just stopped by earlier today.
How awesome is it that Mitch can just stop by and you're just like, what's up, bro?
It is pretty awesome. It is, but it is also like we live far enough away.
It's
that
so rare now, yeah.
Yeah, we don't get to do it very often. And honestly, with you just mentioned your purchase. And by the way, like that controller freaking rocks. And in the group chat, I like bit my tongue instead of being like, oh, you didn't want to go with the normal controller, the updated PlayStation one. Because I had just seen that was on sale too. Like,
I didn't think about
before
it.
Before you sent that.
But it's because I still have all the tools and stuff for this one from the other one. I was like, yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I'm just such an asshat when it comes
to
Yeah,
of course
like,
you are. That's why I love you. You should have done it. The debuff stat?
I can't do
the
offset joysticks. I can't do it. I hate it.
I thought you said the debuff stat, which I also liked because I like to now think of insults as debuffs.
Debuffs.
Right? That's pretty good.
But yeah, you had mentioned I made a purchase. I just bought a new car yesterday, which hopefully like I, you know, a big reason I don't want to really ever go anywhere is I just hate driving my car.
Sure.
And being in my car. And also
did you walk to work in like the rain because you hated that car?
Yeah. Yeah. There was no reason to ever drive it. Well, if you live a 5-minute walk from work and you're driving to work.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. I used to.
I don't know. Too. That's pretty sad. Yeah. Like, that's why America's fat. was that insensitive?
Nah. Yeah, fuck him.
Right. But like, I just didn't want to drive my car. And like, especially right now, my AC's been all kind of out of whack for like the last two summers.
Oh, dude.
I just found out what that was from too, by the way, when I was checking my brake fluid. Turns out after 11 years, I probably should have changed my coolant at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. So it was like, there's like none in there. Anyways, the dealership's giving me way too much money for that car.
Also, yeah, just any sort of air conditioning issue, just that's what proves to me like, when society collapses, like, I'm not making it long, dude, because I cannot stand not having AC. I'm so fucking plush and bougie and, like, soft and weak.
I don't use it very often, but, man, I went to pick up Sarah and her daughter in New York City last week, and then Sarah and I went to the wrestling pay-per-view, like, that whole day, man, like,
we were in that in your old car?
What's up?
You did that in your old car?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I forget. Also, a trip to New York isn't that crazy for you. What is that? 2 hours?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Like, I can take that car for like a 6-hour ride. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But like going through the city, like New York City is, with it being that close, it's consistently like 10, 15 degrees hotter than it is here just because everything's cramped. It's all asphalt. It's so much fucking hotter.
And
dude,
heat.
It was miserable.
With no AC in that car and you're stuck in like that stop go traffic. There's no breeze.
You could use it, but it just like immediately starts pissing condensation all over your floor.
Oh man, that's terrible.
So dude, it was miserable.
So, I don't know why I laugh at your misery, but goddamn, I am.
Well, it's probably because I've been in misery for like 10 years with this stupid thing.
Yeah, you are
and
free.
Like, I've never done anything
freedom,
about it.
Freedom! Freedom!
Yeah, like, you know what? I don't need AC. I don't even like it.
Well,
no, I'm just an idiot.
You fuck that car. Yeah. But Sean, your new car, if you could, how would you have Pimp My Ride? Pimp Your Ride.
How would I pimp my ride? I don't need to pimp my ride. This bad boy's got a wireless charger from my phone, dog.
But, like, how would you, like, theme it? Like, if you were on Pimp My Ride, like, what would the Sean pimped ride be?
Oh, okay. Well, in this, where I live, there's not... You can't really lower the suspension. You're absolutely destroying your chassis, hitting a pothole that's every six inches. I adore hatchbacks, so I got another hatchback. So I'd pop that bad boy open. A screen would probably pop down. It's a Subaru, and hold it, folks. Like, you don't need to blow Subaru here. And also, hold it, folks. You don't need to make fun of Subarus. But they already offer so much customization. Like, you can have a tent that comes out the side of your fucking car.
Yeah, the Aztec had that.
It's freaking insane. And it's like, it's got dog Aztec? Crates and snowboard holders. Like, I'm going to get a snowboard holder.
That's tight, dude. That's tight.
Going to get a snowboard and ski holder. For
the always loved, like, it shows how dated it was, but when they had, like, the PS1s hidden in the Pimp My Rides, dude,
that's
come on.
When I said the so pop-down jealous. Screen,
yeah,
that's where my brain went.
I thought of, like, oh, he's got to have the old school PS1 in there.
Yeah.
I want to put one of those in my car now. Although it gets so hot, it would be ruined, I feel.
100%. Every disc that you put in there would just warp instantaneously.
Because it's also spinning so fast.
It would look like just... that Game Boy from the Gulf War that's
displayed. That still works? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
Except for this wouldn't work.
I totally got that reference. No, because, yeah, the discs would just shatter. They'd be like, mm-hmm. already hot, and because it, like, the way that it loads it, like, it's always spinning it back and forth and just be like, Krah!
Yeah, and it's got a slight wobble to it, so you know at some point your car is straight shooting shrapnel, and yeah. But
man, Pimp My Ride, I used to love the hell out of that show.
It guilty pleasure.
It was sure. So stupid, 100%. Like, you knew it, and like, I always thought those guys couldn't act, so watching them try to act was always hilarious. Like when they had the round table discussion and they were pretending like they just came up with this idea that wasn't.
So in here, what we're gonna do in the back is, and they pull out these blueprints that it's like, it's the blueprint is there for like literally a fraction of a second before it cuts to like the completed thing as if they weren't just gonna do it.
Oh man, then they're like running it all through the cars. All those cars, like you can buy those. I've also seen like a couple now where like because of the algorithm, like I've gotten these motorcycle channels, but there's two different guys that have bought like choppers that Orange County Choppers have made.
OC Chopper.
And they're just like awful, terrible bikes.
Yeah. Well, the amount of shit that they put on it probably doubled the weight on those bad boys.
That's what they all say. They're so heavy. They're so uncomfortable.
Can imagine, dude.
They're cool episodes. I love YouTube.
Man, I never went out of my way to watch a Pimp My Ride, but if I was ever like chilling, we're like chilling around the house, having a smoke or whatever, and somebody popped on MTV, it was either that or like one of them blind date shows.
This is great.
That I was a sucker for.
I love, last week we talked about Nickelodeon. Let's talk about the MTV shows we liked.
Yeah. Those were them.
That was it? Did you watch Singled Out? Was that ever in your era?
I don't think so.
That was a big Singled Out guy.
I don't even know what that is.
Singled Out, that was the dating show that Jenny McCarthy and Chris Hardwick hosted, where it was like...
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
It was one that I had seen, but the ones I'm envisioning are the ones where, like, freaking dudes just bust into single dudes' rooms and kidnap them out of the house and stuff them into
that's
the back
Room
of that
Raider. That show was also fucking great.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. I loved much trashy MTV television.
Dude, we can't even make fun of people watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, we watch so much trash.
Did you ever do any of the Real Worlds?
No.
I never liked them either, but I had a buddy that did. And like, I guess every summer before they would premiere a new season, they would do a marathon of like every old season. And I was hanging out with him for like a week one time for whatever reason. And I watched a shit ton of it. I didn't like it. I don't like that style of shit. That one's even weirder because like nothing really happens. Nobody gets like voted off. There's no contest. It's just people living in a house.
Don't tell Micah this, but there's a show that I don't bring up. It's called Traitors that Sarah and I became like really obsessed with.
What's the name of it?
It's called Traitors.
Traitors. Okay.
Yep.
And like traitors, like the trade goods or traitors like betrayers?
Betrayers.
Okay. Traitors.
Okay. So Traitors, and just found out there's a Canadian version that like I have to figure out how to get their Canadia station, right? Which VPN and logging on. Yeah, I just got to figure out an easy way to stream it to the TV.
Yeah.
But we're super hyped to see that there's a brand new season. There's one for New Zealand, one for Australia, two seasons for US, a couple seasons for the UK. Dude, we've watched them all. It's amazing. It's basically... It feels very Blood on the Clock Tower-y.
Okay.
Where there's like 20 people that get brought into this house. Every day they have to like complete a challenge. But they get brought into this house and they all have to close their eyes. And three people are selected to be the traitors. So everybody is like trying to be like, oh no, I'm good, I'm good. And every night there's a banishment where they vote to try to vote out who they think is a traitor.
So it's kind of like
at the end
too.
Of the game... If there's any traitors left, they get all of the money. So for the faithful to win, they have to successfully eliminate all of the traitors.
All of them. Okay, yeah.
But there's like different points where if they start getting the traitors out, they have an opportunity to recruit good people. It's pretty awesome. It's like We weren't super thrilled about the last one that we watched, the American one, where it had a lot of like reality stars, people that were on like Survivor and stuff,
lame,
competing against each other. It's like a, it's not like Survivor. I don't know.
Man.
The games and stuff they do in the middle of the day, I don't care. I like the social, figuring good and bad people out. But I think Micah would be obsessed with that show.
I take it back to, I didn't watch Real World, but I did watch the hell out of Road Rules.
Road Rules. That yeah. one sounds familiar. I think that was early 2000s.
Yep.
I remember my sister watching that for sure.
That was people that were generally in a bus or an RV and they would drive around. But that one, they had different challenges they would have to do.
Okay.
And yeah, I remember I watched the hell out of that show. And then it got stupid. It became the Real World Road Rules Challenge, where
I remember when that happened.
I got out of it by then. Man, MTV also had some crazy weird shit. Do you remember MTV's Oddities?
No, but I am assuming that that was out around the same time that like Ripley's Believe It or Not was a big thing.
No, Oddities was like, it was a bunch of short cartoons. Like it would be what The Head was on. And the Max, did you ever watch the Max?
Nope.
Dude, those were tight. They were like crazy, crazy weird cartoons. The Max was so badass. It was this giant dude that has these crazy huge claws, and they're just brutal. It was shit that like you couldn't see. It was kind of like early Adult Swim before Adult Swim existed.
Wow. Yeah, I clearly was on a completely different page there and had no idea.
Did you ever watch Aeon Flux on MTV?
No.
God damn.
That got turned into a movie, didn't it?
Eventually with Charlize Theron, but it sucks. Yeah. Aeon Flux, the anime, the cartoon is so fucking good, though. It's so hypersexualized. Everybody looks so weird. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I didn't watch that. I enjoy this trip down memory lane. This was like... Did you ever watch Wild and Out?
Yeah.
When that first came out with Nick Cannon was really good. Like, very entertaining.
I would watch, because it would be on, like, in the afternoons. I think it was, like, an after-school show. Even after I was out of school, it would be on after work, too.
Yeah.
So
that didn't come out until, like, 2006.
Or later, but yeah.
Yeah. It was when I lived in Arizona, so definitely 2006 at the latest. But yeah, that shit was a lot of fun. But post that, I don't even know what's on MTV, what would be on MTV.
There was a weird talk show.
Daria was on MTV.
Loved Daria. I absolutely loved Daria. Fucking
A. And Beavis and Butthead.
Of course, loved Beavis and Butthead as a kid. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Same. I watched it at Mitch's.
My mom didn't care. It was great.
It's weird that like half the shit that I was like not allowed to watch, like Ren and Stimpy or Beavis and Butthead, I just went to Mitch, you know, the dude that's younger than me, Mitch's house, and watched it there.
My mom didn't care. At my dad's, I couldn't watch Beavis and Butthead. But as soon as he would go up to bed, because he'd go to bed super early, I'd watch Beavis and Butthead. I was like, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
It's my shit. I did love that one. What else did I fucking love? I had it in my head. And I lost. Oh, the fucking Tom Green Show, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Tom Green Show.
The late 90s?
Yeah, dude.
That was huge.
Amazing.
Remember when Tom Green was huge?
Yeah. This was pre-Jackass days.
Yeah.
He was
It was like the Jackass before Jackass. Like, Jackass was the Tom Green Show, but like on cocaine.
He did. His was like a lot of prank. I loved his pranks, and his was fucking with his parents. Like Bam fucked with his parents.
Yeah.
But I just remember the one where like he had a pizza company called Undercutter's Pizza.
Okay.
And he would wait outside of a pizza delivery place. And when they left to deliver a pizza,
my God,
he
yes!
would follow them with a plain pizza and a tackle box full of toppings and then try to like sell his pizza for cheaper to the dude. People got so pissed at him. That shit was so funny.
Oh man,
that one—the one where he has the whore like spray painted on his dad's car, and his dad goes to the bus stop. So he drives his car to the bus stop where all these other men are waiting to go to work. He's like, Dad, why did you leave without your car? God damn, dude.
I do miss the time of, like, that's not exactly hidden camera show. It's skit shows, like, when skit shows were good.
Yeah.
And felt original. Because there was a certain point where everything just became cookie cutter, like, impractical Joker style bullshit. Like, hidden camera over there, pranked.
Yeah, and part of it is because, like, they get so famous that they can't do that shit in public anymore. Like, that happened with, like, Borat. That's why we could only get one Borat movie. That's why, like, the Jackass guys, Johnny Knoxville, like, they circumvent that
There's
by getting...
There's two Borat movies.
There are, but we don't count the second one. Come on. But that's why, like, Johnny Knoxville does the old man makeup, because it distorts his image that he doesn't look like Johnny Knoxville, and he can do... Yeah. All this hidden camera shit still, because it's not people instantly recognizing him.
Did you watch Bad Grandpa?
Oh, yeah, man. In theaters.
Oh, dude, I fucking love that movie.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
Like, the extended cut. Like, yeah. I've watched every version of that movie. Dude, when he shits on the wall of the diner.
So hilarious.
I cry every
time.
So
fucking funny, dude.
So
All of those movies are so fucking funny, man.
Yeah. Every I will watch every Jackass that comes out.
I will watch every all the point fives too. They're also always funny. All the cutting room floor stuff, still hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, there's an extra 10 minutes of footage. Sweet. This is the Jackass thing. That's like 20 more skits.
I've been watching so much of like a lot lately of like Steve-O and Dave England talking about all the shit they did in Jackass. It's been so fucking
awesome.
That's
another MTV show.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Jackass.
How did we not talk about Jackass?
Well, because I feel like we have talked about Jackass a lot. So I feel that one was kind of a given. Matter. Yeah.
This is Jackass 2.5 talk.
I fucking love Jackass, though, man. The show, everything. I didn't know, like, I've learned some more deep lore. Like, I kind of knew vaguely that it was a skateboarding magazine where it started, which it is. But it was like an offshoot website version that they were really getting up. But like all of the dudes worked for the magazine.
Really?
Like Wee Man worked for it. Tremaine was like one of the head editors.
Yeah.
And then like they also had a lot of collaboration. And this is where they get Dave England and Aaron McGeehee and some of those guys is because they were huge in the snowboard scene. And that also like I always wondered like why they did so much shit up in the mountains. And now it's like, oh, because they were like snowboard dudes. They were really good at snowboarding. Sense. Yeah. These were like underground skateboard mag dudes. So
what a weird, like, there's definitely inspiration in like the early seasons of that. But past like the first season, you really don't get any hints of that's where some of the roots are or tie in at all for something that was so big in the early 2000s when like skateboarding culture was like huge.
Yeah.
It's crazy that there is no actual tie in crossover there outside of Bam.
Well, Bam, and like Steve-O did skateboarding stuff, but that was his thing is that he wasn't a good enough skater to be in the magazine, but that's how he got linked up with Tremaine because that magazine would do all kinds, like, they wrote a fucking article about, like, how to commit suicide, like, the best ways to do it. Like, they were just doing the craziest shit. And that's how Steve-O got linked up, because he would do crazy stunts. And, like...
Magazines that wouldn't exist in 2024?
Not at all.
Alex.
Not at all, dude. Like,
Jesus Christ.
The way they describe some parts of this magazine, it's fucking wild. And it's like, oh, yeah, that was only a product of, like, that edgy early 2000s humor shit. Yeah. It was crazy. It's good shit, though, man. It's awesome.
That
I love
wild.
It's so crazy how much of like a stupid base thing it is, but goddamn, is that shit so funny.
Man, I hope another Jackass comes. We should just like do a Jackass movie.
I would
and
do.
Just like talk about the best skits from it.
Yeah, let's do it. 100%.
I just want to laugh.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it after Action Movie December. That's what we're going
to
do.
I want to feel something, man.
That's instead
Action
of.
Movie Part 2.
We'll have August. It'll be Jack August.
I love it. Actually, so talking about after Action Movie Part 2 or whatever the fuck it's called,
yeah.
I do want to touch back to the very first thing that I asked you before the show talk And as soon as we started talking about it, Kyle, do you consider The Warriors to be an action movie?
Did we watch it for Action Movie December?
I don't think so.
Last year? We did watch it, but why?
We watched it.
Was it for a theme month?
I don't know if we did.
Or just to watch it? I can't
While you
either.
Answer that, because it would be really funny if you just absolutely contradict yourself here, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah,
you think of if you consider it to be an action movie.
I get, yeah, at its base level, I do, because like action movies were different in that era. It's more it of like was. You say, it was for Action Movie December.
We did this exactly 1 year ago.
That's funny
the
as hell.
The 14th of July, this will be out the 12th.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it is at its base level. Now, is it a good action movie? I forget. I think we had a good time with it, but I think we kind of determined that overall there wasn't much action. And unfortunately, like, it is a bit dated because, but that's also like, it's hard to hold that against it.
I don't know if we even really talked about if we would really consider it to be an action movie, because back then we were just like talking about, did we like it? You know, what's our rating? Whereas this year we have the kick-ass-ometer that's actually going to gauge whether or not what we're watching is an action movie, and if it is, a good one.
Yeah.
Complete arbitrary categories.
I like that you wrote me about an hour in and you were just like, hey, so did you like this movie?
I sent that to you 3 minutes into watching this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I started the movie and I got a certain vibe from the movie and I just wanted to check how much attention I needed to pay to this movie. To see how much we were going to actually talk about it.
I was wrapped up. I'm ready to talk at length about it. Because like I told you, this is a rare gem in the so bad that it's good category.
This movie
is wild. It's so fucking terrible at so many points. But I had such a fucking good time watching it. I can't believe it's not
terrible,
more discussed.
But wonderful.
Yeah, I can't believe it's not more discussed in like the terrible film annals. I feel it's like a hidden gem that people are sleeping on. It's got everything you want. Cringe music, cringe performance, cringe writing. Yeah. Oh my God, dude.
It blows me away. When, you know, this everywhere you look, if you type in Streets of Fire, cult classic, cult classic, cult classic. Let me tell you something, Kyle. Everybody that I've talked to that would watch a movie from the 80s that would watch this. Every single person that I asked has not even heard of this movie.
I'd never heard of it before you brought it up like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. And that was just through, I was scrolling Twitter and saw somebody, like, I saw a screenshot of this movie. I'm like, oh, that looks dope. That looks up my alley. And I read his little, like, review. And I'm like, that kind of seems like it could be fun for action movie December part two. But man, nobody outside of that dude has heard of this movie.
Nobody I know, like I said, I've never heard of it, which is wild because I am a bit of a Willem Dafoe guy, and he's in this.
A very young Willem Dafoe.
I'm also pretty big into Rick Moranis, who has a very thin catalog. Still never heard of this.
I'm a huge fan of Elizabeth Daly, who as soon as you saw a quick glimpse of her, I'm like, holy shit, that's Elizabeth Daly. She is so far down on the billing on the cast list on IMDb. I never saw it, or else I probably would have been more excited to watch this movie.
It is something, man. Like, I am very glad that you brought it to my attention, because to jump to the end maybe a little bit, I will absolutely be watching this movie again.
Yeah.
100%.
It is like, I'm smiling right now, listeners, just like thinking about this. Let's get this out of the way. It is a clean 130.
What is the name of this movie, Sean?
What's that?
What is the name of this movie for the listeners?
Streets of Fire.
In case they can't read.
Yes. Streets of Fire.
130.
Yep. It's a clean hour and 30 minutes. You can't stream it on anything. So I did rent it. It was only like $3 to rent on I think, Google Play, so that plays straight through YouTube. It's, to me, I'll skip to the end. It was completely worth it to me. I don't feel like I wasted my money on this movie. It was everything that it advertised it to be. Like, right off the beginning, the opening splash screen is a rock opera.
Dude.
Is literally, like, words on the screen. It's stylistically a rock opera through the cuts, the transitions, the music.
It's a full four and a half minutes long. The credits continue the entire time over it.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a music video. And it's not
before
the only
one. Before
it even
gets to the credits, it is a fucking music video.
Fist
pumping synth 80s rock music video.
I love the dude playing the drums. Is so accurate. And I was like, man, that dude is really nailing it. And then I found out later it's because that's the actual band that wrote that song.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh. The only person that's not there is their female lead singer who's doing the vocals, but obviously is not the actress playing the
Diane Lane.
But that's her real band, and that's why he was like, they were all so on it, because that's like their song. I love, though, that he's playing like an acoustic set, and it's the most 80s electronic drum set sound ever.
It was wild. It was such a weird feeling watching this movie, and it feels like... like every part of every scene was pulled from like six different generations. It felt like Grease. It felt very, it's clearly like musically early to mid 80s, like that synthy, rocky. But then you also have the neon everywhere that wasn't exactly everywhere in the 80s. And I can actually kind of pull that from a little bit earlier. Like, again, almost like, a fantasy. Okay, this is gonna sound crazy, but imagine Grease, folks. Imagine Grease, but like futuristic, set in like a futuristic world of the 80s.
It was
like,
I did like that they differentiated it in the opening scrawl. They said it's like, it's not really set on Earth,
in a different place. And a different time.
Uh-huh. And if you notice, like, the money that Rick Moranis uses throughout is not any currency that exists. It looks almost like Monopoly money.
They made up this whole world
but
for
just,
this.
Just didn't do anything outside of, like, some different colored paper. Literally, it's Chicago. I can't. It's like a mashup combination of the 50s and the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... somebody liked Back to the Future aesthetically and was just like, give me both of these.
Yes. That was another movie that in my head I was comparing this to, just from a visualistic standpoint, musically, like the emphasis on that.
I was bamboozled because like start of this flick, man, it's kind of ominous. The way, like, all the bikers just kind of roll up into this club and everybody gets out of their way and they're lit from, like, the back, bottom, behind. And so, like, their faces are covered in shadow, but it's so ominous. And then, like, when they finally spring into action, they look so ridiculous.
Dude, it's like, okay, so 100%. It looks so ominous. And then you get to the battery later in the movie. The battery's
like,
oh my
God, yes.
The freaking, what's the name of the bombers? It's their, basically their hideout slash bar.
The
whatever.
Section of the city, essentially, of Chicago. Yeah.
Exactly. Think like Gotham, folks. Like, think
very
they
much
have their
so.
Own damn section of this city. And you get there and it looks like, the Greasers opened up Pandora's box in the Hellraisers movies and became Cenobites, but like, like actual faces. They just are clad in the most ridiculous leather outfits.
All right. So when the main guy first shows up and he's at the bar and he takes his fucking coat off and he's wearing this ridiculous suspenders outfit, I was like,
it looked like a butcher outfit.
Well, I was like, this is the stupidest outfit in this entire movie. And then later, Willem Dafoe shows up wearing a full-up fucking, like, latex jumpsuit with no shirt on. And I'm like, all right, this is the stupidest outfit in this movie.
And that was, like, juxtaposed with the other main character, Tom Cody, wearing the most, like he, it looks like he just woke up underneath a bridge with a bottle of whiskey in his hand, wearing this raggedy ass shirt that's massive and the most raggedy ass pair of like overalls over the top of this. Like the two of them facing off underneath a bridge, looking like, I don't even know, Kinky, whatever his name is from Greece, versus some homeless guy. It looked like a new version of Bum Fights.
Oh, it's terrible. It's, you mentioned how it, this movie feels like it's like a, eight different other types of movies. And like I said, it essentially is. The dude that made it, he wanted to make a movie with everything that he loved, which was like rock and roll music, motorcycles, souped up hot rods. I said music. What was the other one?
Yeah.
Oh, Kissing in the Rain. Like, it's just all cliches, man. It's nothing but cliches. And like a cheap ass Blade Runner style knockoff of Chicago.
Blade Runner. That is a movie that I didn't think of.
That's exactly what he's trying to dress like, with the fucking brown overcoat and the neon lights. It's got, it's very Blade Runner. The views of the city. Uh huh. Yeah. It's very Blade Runner, dude. That's all that. I guess you nailed it on that. He's trying to copy so many things. Again, I'm shitting all over this movie. I fucking love this movie, man.
Everything that you're shitting on is like, I think I can say that it's things that I adored about this movie because it was so goddamn stupid.
Do you know what I absolutely loved? Is that for the entire 1 hour and 30 minute movie, everybody in this fucking movie is as big of an asshole as they can be to every other character.
To everybody. And they're everybody just is a piece of shit in this movie.
Just absolute fucking jerks for no reason. They shit talk each other all the time, even when they're doing them favors.
I can do a rundown of this movie. Like, usually it takes forever for us to do this. I can do a rundown of this movie in 2 minutes or less.
Go.
Okay? Main character, Tom Cody, comes back from the army. He's basically a mercenary. He's in town to visit his sister. His ex-girlfriend, air quotes, Ellen Aim, is the singer that opens the beginning of the movie, and in the beginning of the movie is kidnapped by the bombers, led by Raven, played by Willem Dafoe. He ends up at a bar that's bar led by Bill Paxton and runs into this woman, McCoy, who is also in the army. He recruits her. His sister tries to talk him into saving Ellen because he still loves her. And so he then finds Billy Fish, which is Ellen, the singer's new boyfriend, who's her manager, played by Rick Moranis, who promises him $10,000. So they go to the Battery. McCoy basically goes in there, guns a-blazing. You got Tom Cody outside shooting a rifle that can blow up cars and motorcycles, which is going to be brought up later because that was crazy. They end up saving her. Raven threatens to come back and get him and her. And honestly, the rest of the movie is just everybody, like you said, being a complete asshole to each other.
Dude.
Whether it be like everybody saying they hate each other, or Ellen cheating on Billy with Tom, even though they hate each other, it makes no sense. And then it all culminating in Tom Cody punching a woman, Ellen, then threatening to punch another woman, and then a war underneath a bridge between the city and this gang with two pickaxe sledgehammers and Raven getting punched out.
Dude, you're glossing.
And then a whole music video. That's the entire movie.
You glossed Hover so hard the fact that our fucking hero of the movie punches the woman he just had sex with in the face.
In the face.
To knock her unconscious. He beats a woman that he loves and just had sex with.
Like, he literally could have, write that in there, been like, here, McCoy, who is the woman that was also a soldier, McCoy, hold her here. I'm going to go fight this guy.
100%.
But instead, cold cocks her right in the face for like no reason.
I think he distracts her. He like asks her a question. And like as she's answering, he's just like, kabow! Just like, dude, I was like, I laughed so fucking hard, Sean. I laughed so hard.
Same. And I feel like an asshole for that.
No, man.
But like, it was one of those, you don't see it coming. You see it coming, but at the same time, you don't at all, because it's so, why would that happen? I feel like in this movie, I think to myself so many times, why would this happen? And it doesn't matter. They just do it anyways.
You've never watched The Office, have you?
Oh, yeah. I've watched most of The Office.
Did you ever see the episode where they watch Michael's spy movie, Michael Scarn?
I haven't seen that.
What I'm getting at, there's like a part in there where like he has to win this ice skating race so he can be on like the hockey team, and he gets distracted and loses. And so Michael Scott's character, Agent Michael Scarn, the good guy of the movie, like goes into the locker room and chokes out the guy that won with a fucking American flag so that he can be the winner. And it's like, dude, he just beats this woman to be. It's so unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary. And it is established in like.
And he's our hero. He's the hero.
And he's doing all of this because it does come to like they have all of this pent up stuff because, OK, he's mad at Ellen for leaving him for Billy. Right. Billy Fish. When she's mad at him because he went to the military and never talked to her for 2 years.
Never wrote her. Yeah. Didn't do anything.
It is the stupidest shit. Like they shouldn't be mad that they're not together because they both of you are idiots. If this is an issue.
All of the paper, all the writing in this movie is so paper thin, dude.
It's terrible, but I love it. And so, like, the whole crux of this comes to him realizing how much he really does love her and admitting it and saving the day. And then immediately after saving the day, being like, Billy, you can have her. You're better with words anyways.
I'm leaving.
And then, like, he goes and just macks it with her immediately after that.
Yeah. Like, I love
y'all are terrible people.
I made the joke to Mandy, like, because they like she runs after him and they kiss in the rain, right? And then it immediately cuts to like them post banging. But I was like, dude, that guy must have busted super quick because they were literally still dripping wet, like they hadn't even dried off. He like popped as soon as he stuck it in. Like,
yeah, it was either that or it went a really long time.
And but they were
according
sweaty.
To him, he has terrible luck with women lately. So that's definitely not the case.
Man, I love, again, like I said, everybody in this movie is an asshole. I love when Bill Paxton is just like trying to kick this chick out of his bar and she just decks him in the face. He also has the worst like missing tooth makeup ever.
Dude, it looks like somebody glued a Cocoa Puff onto his tooth. So stupid. Or not a Cocoa Puff, but like a Reese's Pieces Puff.
Oh, man. It's
like it's just straight brown and like
it is insane. Again,
it's weird.
Our hero of the movie, by the way, also literally some of the worst acting I have ever seen. He is so stiff as a fucking board.
I wrote down, why is everybody talking like they're impersonating Sylvester Stallone? Does that make this more of an action movie?
I don't know, man. It's fucking. It's so good. I want to watch this with so many people. It's so fucking off the wall. The only thing that does throw me off that I don't like, but it's so common in all of these terrible movies, is just how much of a reliance is on like a band sub theme so that they can have like full on performances. Because it also adds like padding time to the movie because these are not well-written movies, man. They don't have.
No.
They don't have.
I will give this movie credit, though, for like what very loose story there is. It wasn't the most put together thing, but it was very coherent from beginning to end. Even to like the Sorrells, like that didn't need to be a second band in this movie, but it did tie in nicely to the end of the movie with Billy Fish being like, I got my new money making band here. Like the band that wanted to get discovered. And sure enough, by the end of the movie, they get discovered.
Thank God. Also, like it was so weird when they get picked up and then all of a sudden we just do a jump cut to somehow we have a flat tire.
Yeah.
Like this movie's so weird pacing, editing wise. Like you can. You can tell that they tried and they still made crap. And that's the kind of crap that I love.
It feels like this was somebody's like dream project.
Yeah, I think
somebody
it was.
That had just enough money to make it look good, but hired the wrong people.
Oh, man.
Like, that, Michael Perry, it was really bad in this movie.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, Willem Dafoe was amazing as Raven, as stupid as his outfits and hair was.
Of course.
Like, his facials, fantastic.
Also, oh, sorry.
No, that's about it. I was going to say more, but then I was like, eh, his dialogue was kind of trash, too. So
it is trash, but this movie was honestly huge in Japan and, like, sparked a huge, like, resurgence in like the troublesome youth genre of film. Like,
no kidding.
Uh-huh. But
did they make up like 6 million of the 8 million that this money made?
I don't know. But like, there's like if you've ever played the Yakuza games and shit, there are like dudes that dress like greasers in Japan, like, and they drive the old motorcycles and they do the whole thing. Yeah. They get real down on it.
This did you see that this was originally supposed to be movie one of a 3-movie trilogy with Tom Cody being the lead?
Yeah, but it bombed.
Yeah, it bombed horrific. It was a $16 million budget. It made $8 million.
Also, he and Rick Moranis did not get along at all. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, yeah. But I believe it, because Rick Moranis was probably like, why the hell is this guy in this movie?
Well, he was... Rick Moranis is also a comedian, and you know, they bust chops. And I guess like the first time that they met, he's like, so are you really that cool? Or is this just like an act that you put on to be this cool?
Oh.
And that dude like hated him from that moment on.
Personally.
Oh, he took it number one so personally. And he was also like, I come from an era where like, if you talk trash about somebody, you get beat up. But these comedian guys, he doesn't have a sense of humor. He's a terrible actor. They would not
Captain Stiff as cardboard over
They wouldn't let Rick Moranis improvise. And like, dude, these lines are so garbage that these people have. And like, everybody is just an asshole to everybody. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with Rick Moranis's dialogue being trash as Billy Fish, he plays it in a way that only he can. I wanted to see him get punched in the face every time he got punched in the face, but I also wanted to see him on the screen as much as humanly possible.
Sure.
Because he made me laugh all the time. Like, there's the point where they run into that guy, when they're going to Battery. I don't remember the actor's name, but it's one of those. That guy.
It's Stan Sitwell from Arrested Development.
Yes, that guy. Yeah, so he's like playing some bum that gives them the underground deets on the Battery, because of course he's there. Sure, fine.
Uh-huh.
And so after he gives the deets, he's like, pay the guy. And so Billy goes, I'm not paying this guy. And he goes, listen, shithead, you give him some of your money or I'll give him some of your money. And I was just like, that is such a stupid line, but I love it.
Oh,
like,
man.
There's a couple of lines in this movie that I loved and remembered. Unlike Unleashed last week, where there weren't really zingers or one-liners, this movie felt like it was full of them, and I was here for it.
You, damn it, I was going to say something about something you had said. No!
Next time, it'll be right in your nuts. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't know why I just did my
You're Sylvester Stallone
Tom Cody voice. Instead of McCoy.
Yeah. It was a, damn it, I had it again and I lost it. No!
I'll keep talking. McCoy, who is the woman soldier there, she friggin' rocked this movie.
She's the only good part.
She was a badass. And
she's
like,
a Daryl Hannah ripoff, too.
Yes.
This role was originally supposed to be.
Wow. A little bit shorter, but yes, 100%.
Definitely. They totally just copied her haircut.
She was just as much of a hero as Tom Cody was.
She was way better, dude. She infiltrated the fucking base. Yeah. He just stood outside and shot shit.
He was the spotlight of this movie, but yeah. She did all of the heavy lifting.
I remember what I was going to say. You gave a whole breakdown of the movie in 2 minutes. I'll give you every conversation in this movie in like 5 seconds.
Okay.
I'm telling you to do something. I'm not doing it. You're going to do it or you're going to die. Okay, I'll do it.
Like, I love the subplot of the cops that, like, I don't know the cops' intentions or motivations in this movie at all.
Nope.
Because every single scene, their motivations and their intentions are completely all over the place. Like, they are.
I get what they wanted
McCoy
to do.
McCoy and Cody stole a car. Uh-huh. They got pulled over and, like, one of the cops, Ed, had just arrested Cody like 2 years prior, yeah, right? And he's like, I don't have a license. It's in my other pants. And he's like, okay, have a good night. They drive away and they're like, yeah, he should be behind bars. Like, what?
Yeah. And then later and on, then
next thing you know, he's like, I'm going to put you in jail. And he's making secret meetings with Raven and then go snitches on Raven to Cody. It's like, and then he's part of a showdown at the end of the movie.
It's so all over the place. What are you doing here? Yeah, dude. It's so all over the place. This movie is wild. I think everybody should see it for the fact that it's PG. Yes. There's cursing. There's nudity. There's punching women in the face. There's fights with giant hammers. It's amazing. There's bribed cops. Again, that don't... You bribed us too fast. I don't believe you. All right.
There's something going on in here. Get out of the bus.
God damn it.
And then they immediately pull the gun on him.
And then, like, there's two people with guns. There's 40 cops. And they're like, drop them. And all the cops are like, all right, everybody, we'll drop our weapons.
And then they just shoot all of their cars with these exploding rifles.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful, man. Oh, my God.
This movie, when you said I hate loved it or whatever you said, and said it was so bad it was good, I still had like 20 minutes left in the movie, and I just nodded and thought to myself, I know exactly what Kyle's talking about.
What do you think, Shawnee? You want to run through the kick-assometer on this bad boy?
I do. All right. I do. And I've got to say off the bat, we can't break this at all. We're not cheating with bonus points, but let me tell you, if I could give bonus points in certain categories, I would.
Well, we do have one bonus point, which might come into play.
It might come into play. I have three things written down.
Okay.
Okay, Kyle. Yeah. We start the kick-assometer with action quality.
Sure
in this
do,
movie.
Buddy.
On a scale of a maximum of 5, what are you giving this movie?
So overall, on the action kick-assometer, I'm giving this movie a 2.
Okay.
Because I feel like most of the fights are very heavy on the theater fight aspect. Sure. Also, it's this era. It's kind of the era, but like every fucking punch is the biggest, swingiest haymaker of all time. I'm surprised we didn't get one of these moves where like they put their hands together and like the Star Trek move.
Just give them the
hammer. Yeah, that move. There were some pretty cool explosions. We throw all disbelief out. Like once he shot one motorcycle and it just exploded, I was like, okay, so this is
I rewound it. But I rewound it to see how many, like what his rate of explosions to bullets fired out of that gun were. And I've got to say, like, he's at like an 80% explosion to shots fired
it's
ratio.
It's crazy whatever those bullets are packing. They also did have like a couple of sweet C4 motorcycle jumps, which I thought was pretty good for 1984. A lot of good motorcycle crashes. Not needed at all. But there's like the one where he's like on the roof and the dude just jumps off that loading dock. And I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. All right.
It's
I like that
scene by the end of like Blues Brothers 2000 where like the 40th cop car ends up in that pile.
They also do have that where like they have all those bikers crashing when he's shooting them up. And like there's a couple of, there's like one where he hits and he like flips over the handlebars. And I was like, God damn, that was a stunt.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, overall, I think it deserves a 2.
Okay. Right on.
What about you, buddy?
I've got to say, I also gave this a 2.
Wow!
This
is a 2 look out at of 5 us, for buddy. Me. God damn.
Very much. I think we're going to align on a lot of this.
Yeah, probably.
Which is fascinating because we do these completely separate from each other and kind of see where we land. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you gave Unleashed last week?
Not fully, but I have the scores here. It's like
I want to say I gave 13? It like a 13.
Yeah, I think I got a 13 as well.
Cool. Okay. I gave it a 2. This is, if I'm looking at this as a action movie rating scale from 0 to 5, there's no way humanly possible that this can even come close to a 4.
No.
So at that point, it was, you know, a balancing act between 2 and 3. And honestly, it just doesn't do enough to justify hitting that middle mark of 3. This is, it's not bare minimum. There's a lot of action in it. There's a lot of really
schlocky
action.
But yeah, it's just not great.
It's not great. It's there. It exists. It gets a 2 for me out of 5.
I actually had it at a 1.5, and I brought it up a little bit because I remembered some of that motorcycle stuff. So
cool. But, I didn't do 0.5 spoilers. Out of this whole thing.
Don't have any 0.5s at all either. That was going to be the only one as well, but it's not there. So
there was nothing in this movie that I was kind of on the fence about, like I was last week. Number 2 category is antagonist.
Yeah.
We have a maximum point value of 4. Mm-hmm. Kyle, what are you giving Raven and his bomber biker gang?
I think this might be where we differentiate a lot. I didn't really dig Willem Dafoe in this role too much. I don't think he did a lot with it. He was creepy, which Willem Dafoe is, but I feel that's just sort of his natural effect. He's done... Sure. It's also early in his career, but he's done good stuff by this time too, man. So, I don't know. I just feel like the director didn't know how to use him. Maybe Willem also kind of thought this movie was a little wackadoo. He does always give his all. Even when he's chewing scenery, though, he's no Bob Hoskins from last week. So, overall, I gave him a 1, man.
You gave him a 1?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't... We are not that far off on this. I only gave it a 2.
Okay.
I'm not going off of the actor, while I do feel...
Raven also was not outside of the intro.
I went off of Raven, the character, and there's not a, when you look at it, what's his, and I keep coming back to this, like, what is his motivation for this?
Yeah,
like,
he just wants to rape this girl?
No motivation for this outside of, I'm going to kidnap the singer and, I don't know, rape her a couple times, or I don't know.
Very, very bad dudes from NES were like, terrorists have kidnapped the president's daughter. Are you a bad enough dude to rescue her?
Yeah, it was like a kidnapping for a sake of, like, they like chaos, which also I can get behind. Like, if I think of it from that point of view, the motivation, I guess, is there. They do seem like a chaos for a sake of chaos. Like, we made comparisons last week to Bob Hoskins being the Penguin. This crew for me is like in when you play one of the Arkham games. Just the gangs, the no-named, no-faced gangs that you whip the shit out of thousands at a time in one of those games. Like, that's who these bad guys are. And for that, they only get a 2 from me. I think 1, you know what? I'm changing on the fly. 1.5.
Hey, you got the 0.5s out.
The more I talk about it, the more I don't think it's deserving of 2. So, yeah. It's going down to a 1.5. Thank you for talking me out of that.
I'm glad. I'm glad to do that. Next up on the list, Shani, we got the body count.
We do have the body count, and I'll kick this one off. It's a maximum of 3.
Okay.
I gave it a 1 question mark.
You could alter this if you want to, because I gave it a 0.
It could also, like, I was being generous when I gave it a 1.
I can think of only one person maybe possibly dying, and that's the person that McCoy shoots at the cards scene when she's holding them.
Yeah, but she shoots him in the leg.
Does she shoot him when he's, like, jumping at her? Did he shoot her in the leg?
She shoots him in the leg and says, next time it'll be right in your nuts.
Right. Because he even makes a point to say that, like, they're not going to kill them. They'll just, like, blow up their bikes. And that's what
Nobody
he does.
Nobody dies in this movie.
No, man.
Oh, that's got to get dropped down to a 0.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm terrible at my own rating scale.
Even when I thought one guy did die, I think, for me, this is like, we're using a numerical number, but it's on, like, a percentage scale. Like, I'm going to say, like, 0 to, like, 4 is still going to edge down to just be a general 0 for me in most cases. So
anything above a 1, I think I've got to personally give like a 0.5.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, we'll see.
I think yours, that is a great general rule for you. For an action movie, that body count
low.
This was like, I think West Zippo. Side Story has more.
Yeah, people do die in West Side Story. It's tragic. Yeah. West Side Story rules.
West Side Story is more tragic than this movie.
Maria. What is what we got next?
Setting / theme.
Okay.
I think a lot of this really comes down to your own idea of what that means for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll. You had the first 2. I'm going to take, this will be my second one. I'm going to say this is a solid 3. unlike last time, which was a very nondescript, nothing happening city and sewer system, blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot was put into, either a lot or very little was put into this because somebody just like copped out and grabbed the best parts of a lot of different things. But it was very unique. It was very memorable. The mashups of the decades and the scenery, and you're in very different places through the movie. The settings were all awesome, even to like the battery. I thought that whole their hideout
and grimy
was very grungy. It was very unique. There was that weird stripper dancer lady, which we'll get back to probably. Mm-hmm. And
you know,
I gave this a 3.
Again, I love it. It's like, number one, we've been doing a show together for a long time and just watching a lot of action movies. Because, buddy, I'm right there with you. Setting theme 3. This nails exactly what it wants to do. I think it's the highlight of the movie because they do take a meticulous detail to set design, to costume design, as stupid as they look. Like,
yeah,
they're at least unique. They fit in. And
you know who is who.
Yeah, that too.
At a glance.
But like, I really like the sort of Blade Runner ripoff aesthetic. I'm a sucker for that design style anyways. And
I'm right there with you.
I like the 50s style with all the crazy neon, the wetness, the urban sort of decay of the battery. So yeah, setting theme 3, man.
I think that just seeing the theme and the setting just in that one picture is what made me, just looking at one picture, made me want to watch this movie. So the theme, exactly what you said, is what drew me in.
Cool, man.
Kyle, our next one is going to be Muscles. Mm-hmm. With a maximum value of 2. I jokingly put my score next to this, which I'm sure you can guess, but then followed it up with 2 for Leather. Leather points would be 2. But Muscles, on a scale of 2, what do you got on this?
So in the course of this entire movie, we only see our protagonist and our antagonist shirtless. And at no point do either of them have any sort of definition. In fact, Willem Dafoe is quite twinkish and stickly. So I've got a 0 for Muscles.
Yes, it did look like it was the battle of 2 paperboys.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the movie.
Yeah, so yeah.
I think you nailed it there. I gave Muscles 0, but Leather 2.
There you go. Well, all right, buddy.
Following that up.
Yeah, our next category. Butts. I've got a, yeah, butts. 100%, this gets a 1 from me. There is a butt in this movie. She also does show her boobs, which we kind of said butts can... Everybody can interpret it their way, but there is a literal butt in this movie, so it has to get a point. Let's go.
Yeah. I will say...
What's the maximum it can get in this category?
2.
Oh, I want to give it a 2 then.
You're giving it a 2? Okay. Because
We get an actual literal butt on top of there being nudity. I was like, I got 100%. Yeah.
I will say, until the point where her shirt comes up to... and it shows breasts, I did not know if that was a man or not, woman or not. I did not know. And it's not like, I don't want to say on air if I was like doing like close looks at that, you know, at the underwear. I'm like,
oh man,
bulge in there. And that's fine. Like,
I'd be into cool, it either gang, way, baby. Fun. Let's go.
Gang it up.
Gang. The scene where she takes it off fully, like there was actual... more shots of that, but they cut those to get the R rating down to PG. So
it, oh, there was more originally.
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
And there was more cursing, and it makes sense because I feel like there's a couple times I could tell they dubbed over the word fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't have fucks in PG.
Yeah, but you can have boobs. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
And even the boob, the boob shot later on, it's from a distance. It's not like it's close up. There is the part where like
it they rip the shirt off,
and there's
too. Yeah. There's that, but then there's also like a random chick that like when they're harassing on the motorcycles, they like rip her top off and.
Oh, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I must have been like typing a note because I was only.
It is a real quick dancer. Yeah, the dancer is the more iconic one, and that's the butt that you see, and that one is consensual, so it doesn't feel creepy.
Yes, which that whatever bodysuit she was wearing,
that's just fishnet
body set was so weird because everything, it was like a constricting body set.
It was really weird. And it also
it was like a fishnet corset.
It was on her hands too. But also that chick dancing was the body double for the chick from Flashdance.
What?
Uh-huh. That's why she was dancing so well.
That's amazing.
Because she was yep.
I gave this your original rating of one.
Fair enough.
Yep.
I get it. I'm just you know me, I see a butt, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, it's like that website. Actually, there's a Twitter. I don't remember what it's called, but it's it's a website. It's called Is There a Dog in It?
Oh yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you can type in a video game and it tells you if there's a dog. Or it's like, can I pet it?
The dog? Yeah, yes. I think I have heard of that.
And it tells you whether or not you can pet the dog. And I feel like this category is very much so geared to you, like, very literally, is there a butt in this? Mm-hmm. 2 points, full send, baby. There is a butt.
Let's go, baby.
I'm giving it one. I think, you know, it's... I think context of that... I can't justify. I don't remember what I said last week. I gave it a one last week. I guess maybe this could be a two, but I'm holding steady on my one.
Fair enough. I agree, buddy.
Next category. We got music, dog. Scale of two. What do you got?
I gave this overall a one. I did like the original songs, but I'm not super huge on this 80s stuff. I did like, I guess the last song was written in like 2 days. They were supposed to use a Bruce Springsteen song and they couldn't get the rights to it.
I thought it was, oh man. I thought if that song was written in 2 days, like I'm blown away because I really liked that last song.
Well, that's funny because when the guy sent it, the director called him like immediately. He was like, you son of a bitch. He's like... This is so fucking good. They had to rebuild the set to like reshoot it because
the full on dance scene.
Well, that whole on last performance because they shot, like I said, the Bruce Springsteen ending, like expecting to get the rights. And then when like it was coming clear that they weren't going to get the rights, they had to scramble. And like the guy wrote that song in 2 days. And that's when the director was like, he was hoping they could hold out and try to get the Bruce Springsteen. But when he heard the song, he's like, God damn it, it's so good. We're going to have to. They spent like $1 million. But yeah, it is a cool.
That makes sense.
It's cool. It's fun. I don't think it's perfect. I've heard better songs, but all of them were enjoyable. I feel they go too long.
Mm. So on the flip side where you went butts because there's butts, I went full on two on this. Because the music in this movie is very much so kind of the heart of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Agree.
So much of it is driven by the fact, you know, I thought it's a fantastic opening. I think it's an outstanding ending. And there are even parts in the middle of the movie, which one of my favorite scenes in this movie has really no action going on. It's a transitional scene. It's like them getting, it's after they rescue Ellen. And they get back to like the bar, club, whatever. But as they're going there, there's music playing in the background. And there's this steady drum beat where it's like, doom, 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 doom. And every single time, there's cuts going to the beat of the drum. And it was so sick. And it's like, there's no way that would have been possible without that music. And I love that scene so much. So I can't go anything less than a two.
Nice, man. Real quick, before we move on, you mentioned transitions, and I just wanted to say one of my all-time favorite things about this movie that we didn't mention is that almost every transition, there's some sort of elaborate screen wipe, whether it be like the screen tearing or like it fading in with like this burn mark or whatever. There are so many. They're so extravagant, so extra, and I loved them every time. I love a fucking screen wipe, especially when they're distracting like that. Bravo.
There was a really great one when the cop Ed is like, I gotta go meet with Raven, and it's when he goes and meets with Raven, obviously, but it cuts from him being there talking to his partner and does this like up the middle of the screen wipe. Like tears his face away just for Raven's face to be there, and then wipes the rest to the side. It was so clean. It was so dope. Like, it was really good.
Whenever I see one of those, it always reminds me of this episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets like an editing machine and he's putting together some home movie thing. but every transition he does a star wipe. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And he's like, star wipe, star wipe, star wipe, star wipe. It might be Family Guy, honestly, but either way, it fucking makes me laugh so much.
It reminds me of literally anybody that gets, even to this day, like video editing software on their phone. And it's like I see somebody play with a video or start, they're working on it for like an hour and they're so excited to show it to you. But by the time you're done watching it, you've watched the same like right to left wipe, right to left wipe. And then they got fancy and did a left to right wipe.
Oh, it takes you out of it.
And then like a fade to at the end. It's like, man, you didn't have to do all that for this
for this
latte making video.
That's awesome. I love that.
Second to last category here. Quips.
Quips.
One-liners.
Again, I think this might be one where we differentiate because on this one, I gave it a zero, man.
Okay.
I don't remember any sticking out. None of them were that funny to me. Like I said, the writing overall was so bad, but not like memorable bad. Just and because everybody delivers everything at the same level, like McCoy is same always pissed off and like at that upper level, whereas the main douchebag is always pissed off, but at like the brooding level, like I'm Batman and, yeah. And McCoy's always like, yeah, well, fuck you, man. And it's like there's no subtlety. Nothing sticks out. So it all just sort of blends together. So, yeah, I gave it a zero.
That's fair. Yeah, we do differ here. I did give this a one, which I think maybe it could have gotten a 0.5. I'm going to actually change that to a 0.5 because I'm not going to give this a zero. I will give it a 0.5 because there, even as terrible as the dialogue is, there were a lot of moments where I thought, whether it be a stroke of genius or just pure comical happenstance of like things were said in these delivery tones that you just mentioned, that I couldn't help but laugh. And I thought it was so funny. Like that line where she says, next time it'll be right in your nuts. Like, is that super memorable? No, but the way that she says it made me laugh so hard. And like, I won't forget that. And that scene where he's like, you're going to give him your money or I'm going to give him your money. Like, it's so stupid, but I'll never forget that line. It's so dumb that it gets a 0.5 out of me.
All right.
Story, Kyle. We must give this a zero
or a one.
Or a one.
No half points. Which
no
I'm already,
halvesies.
I'm already kicking myself for. I don't feel I can give this a zero, man. It does have a story that you can follow along, and it stays true to that story. And it's honestly simple enough that it you do understand what's happening at almost every point in the movie. So as haphazard and terrible as the writing is, it gets the job done. It's easy to follow. So I got to give it a one.
I also gave this movie a one. I think for the same exact reason that you gave it. And also, honestly, I don't think I could come out of last week having given Unleashed a one and not give this movie a one.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be absolutely... And I don't want to go comparing movie to movie because that would make absolutely insanely different scores. And we're not trying to get the perfect action movie, right? But, like, there was a story here. It made sense. I'm very curious for us to get to a movie where we give it a zero. I anticipate us giving a lot of ones here.
I do too.
But I cannot wait for that movie that we give it a fucking zero.
There's got to be one out there at some point. So yeah, there's I was thinking be. That too. So
yeah. Okay. Last thing, dude, is there a dope weapon bonus point for you here? I've got three weapons written down.
I can only think of one possibility, so I'll tell you that one, and then I want to hear what else you have. But mine is just this pickaxe hammer that is the basis of the last fight.
Yeah.
That's the only one that I could think to nominate. So what else have you got?
Okay, so actually, I'm erasing one, because it was when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's pretty badass. And then I thought things were going to get more ridiculous as it went on. I originally had him fighting with a coat, the coat rack at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah. That could have been a cool thing in like a kung fu flick. I did have that thought. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Well, that it was didn't, sort of wasted.
Not enough was done with it.
Yeah.
Also, I did have the pickaxe sledgehammer.
Uh-huh.
The whole duel at the end of the movie, which was like, when you say pickaxe sledgehammer, like, it sounds so ridiculous. And also when you watch the movie, it's ridiculous because they were sledgehammers.
Yeah.
100% in the shape of pickaxes that they were easily able to just block with the shaft of their own pickaxe. Like, it made no sense. It was stupid.
Also, those were so long that, like, you would have been smashed in the face at some point or in the top of the head.
You would have died.
Yeah.
But this, instead of them having them doing anything other than dent a car, like, the second that Raven loses his pickaxe sledgehammer,
they just fight. Yeah.
Cody just tosses his away and they go into a fist fight.
They set up these axe giant sledgehammers, but nobody gets hit by anything other than like the shaft part and like the end of it.
Yeah.
They never get hit with that. So yeah,
it was insane.
What else do you
my other weapon though was the rocket launcher rifle.
Yeah. I see that. I liked the rifle even more when he just started using it as a bat.
Right, dude. Like, when I was like, man, when did he get a wrench?
There's
oh,
like,
no, that's his gun.
There's a fucking dude on a motorcycle that he just swings like a baseball bat and knocks him off with it. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
But for me, overall, honestly, I nothing really stuck out, man. I got to say zero on this one.
Okay.
Nothing is unique enough.
I will go along with you on that. I don't think there is anything unique enough, but I'm glad that we both brought something to the table to at least
talk about it.
I agree. That is a zero from me, which brings my total score for this movie to an 11 out of 23.
That's so wild because I also have 11 out of 23.
That is insane for us having such like different categories. Like half of us were spot on.
Uh-huh.
The other ones were just completely different.
But they must have been 11. So drastically different enough that there we go, baby. That's fucking cool, man.
When I started filling out this sheet and I had a 2, a 1.5.
Like, I also thought it was going to be way lower than that.
Same. That is what shocks me, that Unleashed was a 13.
Uh-huh.
And it was so heavy in the categories that allotted a lot more points.
Yeah. Wild.
But, hey.
I like this rating system, man. You did well.
The system works.
Yeah, it does work. It does work.
Listen, if you can't have action quality, you got to have butts.
Mm-hmm. Got to have butts, baby. All right. This is crazy. This episode is this long. We need to shut the fuck up and get out of here, bro.
Yeah, we do. I'm glad we started recording early tonight.
All right, Jesus Christ. Later, buddy.
All right. Later, guys. My week.
Uh-huh.
Oh man. Ooh, where do you even go with this?
I've got one I'm gonna toss at you real quick anyways. Sean, would you rather have a meaningful conversation with a woman or punch her in the face?
Meaningful conversation, Kyle.
Shit, I did not see that one coming.
Oh, man. Kyle.
Uh-huh.
Man, would you rather, in the context of this movie, would you rather be the mercenary army dude coming home and being paid $10,000 to save the day? Or would you rather be the slimy, like, he's not even slimy, but like kind of wimpy, scummy manager guy that will pay somebody $10,000 to save his girlfriend?
I mean, he's the wimpy, scummy manager guy. Because you get the girl, you get to hang out in clubs. You got to go to rock shows all the time. Yeah, fucking A, man. That sounds dope. He's got tons of money. The fact that he can pay off like a bum and the cops and he still has money at the end. Yeah.
Who needs to be a hero at that point?
Fuck it, man. You got to fucking do all that shit and you're miserable and you dress like shit. Yeah. Easily. So, yeah, that's my answer.
All right, man. Oh, the other one-liner. How's the hammer hanging? How I opened this episode made me laugh. Bill Paxton, loved him in this movie just for that one line. Bye, buddy.
Bye, buddy.